How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. And we go to the U.S. Treasury looking very, very harshly at the People's Republic of China. Following the third plenum, this is a especially sensitive matter. The third plenum measured the Chinese economy and said, help. The headline, Treasury issues proposed regulations prohibiting certain U.S. investments in Chinese technology companies. Jonathan Ward, the author of Decisive Decade, a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, joins us. First to you, Gordon. Proposed regulations prohibiting certain U.S. investments in Chinese technology companies. I am surprised as an amateur that this hasn't happened before. Is it on time, Gordon? Is this an evolving process? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. This is an evolving process. President Biden issued an executive order. Treasury proposed regulations. It's looking for comments. This is a very long and slow process, which is typical of federal rulemaking. But the point is we have not only an evolving situation, but a situation where speed is required. And the federal government is not approaching this with the urgency that is absolutely necessary. Also, the Treasury's rules, just as a technical matter, have very large openings which allow Americans to invest in the types of activities that are of great concern. And it just seems that the Treasury rules need to be strict, much stricter, and they need to be issued much faster.
Jonathan, welcome right now. Your comment about this pace that Gordon points to, is it adequate for the threat?
Well, thank you, John, and thank you, Gordon. Look, I think I agree with Gordon here. It's not at all adequate in either pace or scope. I mean, you look at the executive order that came out that targets very specifically quantum information, microelectronics, semiconductors, AI capabilities, links that to national security. All of that is true and necessary. But, you know, it's part of the general strategy of small garden, high fence, which, you know, I believe is wholly inadequate to the actual challenge posed by China. I mean, in my view, if you want to win the economic competition, which you have to do in order to have long-term military capacity and wage deterrence and all the rest of it, I mean, you have to go, I think, for the heart of the whole of Chinese economic strategy. I mean, across the five-year plans, across the Made in China 2025 industries, across the, you know, very broad range of what civil military fusion actually includes, you know, some of the banking structure, I mean, all of that powers China's real economic engines, which power its actual grand strategy. So I think the more that we're trying to scope this down, keep it simple, sort of keep it at the very high end of, you know, high tech competition, I think the more that we're missing the bigger picture. And, you know, furthermore, I think it's essential as some of the rulemaking processes do, you know, they bring the business community and look to the effects of this. But I think bringing them in more sort of in a more bigger and more thorough way to say, look, we're headed in this direction. We have to go in this direction. We're not going to sort of dance our way around these problems. But really, it's going to be a wholesale economic competition that involves companies, and people are going to have to appropriately structure their businesses according to that. It's not something where you're going to be able to drive a truck through it, as many would want to do. So I think there's a lot to be done across the board here. Some of the recent Russia sanctions, I think, help show the way. For example, sanctioning the Moscow Exchange was very interesting this summer. And, you know, we have an example now of much bigger, a much bigger approach to economic warfare and all of that. And I think we have to simply get more creative when it comes to China.
Gordon, you have a question for Jonathan.
Jonathan, it would seem that we're not serious about restricting tech sales and technology transfers to China. And really what we've been doing is underwriting our enemy, if I can borrow a phrase from a friend, a mutual friend of ours. What do we really need to do in order to win the economic and technological competition that you refer to?
Well, you know, the strategy that I've advocated for, you know, is one that I've called economic containment. You know, it goes back to sort of a Cold War framing that was much smaller in scope. But I think generally we have this opportunity to, you know, go after the Communist Party's central role in the Chinese economy and the Chinese economy's central role in the global economy by targeting their actual strategies. So their five-year plans and various, you know, corporate entities, banking entities. I mean, all of this can be addressed, I think, in very substantial ways through U.S. and allied sanctions. I mean, you really can put the brakes on a whole lot of this, cut the growth down, and in the meantime, create opportunity on the U.S. and allied side as we reindustrialize and sort of work to, you know, sort of rip and replace elements of the trading relationship with friends and partners and neutral states that we'd like to have on our side. And I think, you know, so much of that can be done now. And it's about understanding the corporate battle space, the sort of financial sector battle space, and then the general structure of Chinese strategy, all of which I think is highly destructible. The more that one looks at these things in depth, I mean, you get into the five-year plans, for example, and so much of this, I think, is vulnerable to real U.S. sanctions. And with an economy that already is in certain kinds of serious structural trouble at home. A little bit of pressure in the right places, and you can change their game very fast.
Jonathan, your measure of the third plenum, are they out of ideas?
Well, I think one of the key elements of that was just the discussion of what kind of stimulus there's going to be, and it's looking like you know, perhaps less of what some would advocate for, and I think I didn't see anything particularly profound come out of it or anything unexpected, but yes, I think what they're really trying to do here is bet you know, sort of bet again on their industrial strategies, on their export-led growth strategy. And, you know, that implies that they believe that the world will permit Chinese overcapacity to flood into our markets. And I think we have to resist that very directly. And that's something where, you know, the Europeans have already shown a little appetite to put tariffs on. And so have we. But, you know, if they're going to try and go up the value chain, continue to push that sort of industrial strategy and expect the world to absorb all of that in order to keep their economy going, we have to push back against that. We can't have China shock 2.0, and we definitely have the opportunity to, in a sense, terminate their growth curve by resisting their exports. So I think that actually creates an opportunity for us, but does show that the consumer economy is not working out the way that they've wanted it to. I think there is going to be a limit to the kind of stimulus they can give to the economy. And the general sort of dual circulation strategies are very, very dependent on the outside world. And that's where we get a vote.
Jonathan, the lithium market has collapsed. The EVs that China planned to dump into Europe are now tariffed, similar to the tariffs in the U.S. At the same time, the consumers won't buy. The housing is growing weeds, and the drop of an of the cost of money is not stimulating anyone, because people are already heaped in debt. What part of no does the Chinese Communist Party not understand?
Well, they're still going to try to pursue growth essentially at any cost. I mean, when they revise their growth rates between, you know, 4% and 5% on a continual basis. And you know, many banks and things like the IMF agree with them that they are going to get that kind of growth. You know, I think there is still some juice in the economy, but it's certainly not one that's going to overtake the U.S. if we do the right things. If we do nothing, I think they'll have a much larger chance of catching up to us in key technologies and industries. But if we're able to do the right things, I think we'll put them behind in a macro sense. And then we have to focus on the specific Chinese industries. I mean, for example, JP Morgan estimates that they have about 80% of the global battery market. So I don't think we can declare victory yet. There is a real market for that, particularly in Europe. I mean, they sold something like 400,000 electric vehicles into Europe already this year. So it's one where they're making real gains. And I don't think we can underestimate that. They also have an enormous financial system with methods of deploying outbound state capital around the world. So we still have quite a lot to do. And this is a $20 trillion economy that isn't about to fall apart, I don't think, even if it slows down. And we want to focus on making it slow down, in a sense, stop, so that we can win the geopolitical competition.
Gordon, you have a question.
Jonathan, you talked about the vulnerabilities of the Chinese economy. And then you mentioned that Xi Jinping's growth strategy is to flood the world with Chinese exports. In effect, what China's leader has done is put the fate of his economy, and in a larger sense, the fate of his society, in the hands of others, including the President of the United States, whoever runs the European Union, and a lot of people in the global South. So it seems like China is indeed vulnerable, as you point out.
Oh, yes. And in the biggest possible way. I mean, first of all, as we all know, the rise of China would not have happened without access to the U.S. market. And any further rise is not going to happen without access to all those markets, too. So I think the more that we can coordinate with Europe, I mean, it's very good to see NATO sort of come together, call China the decisive enabler of Russia's war, which is true. And then we're going to have to work with countries across the developing world, the global south, to make sure that, you know, China's goods don't simply flood into those markets and China's, you know, debt financing and all the rest of it that can leave those countries very vulnerable. So we have to fight on both fronts, the developed world, the allies, and also the emerging markets and global south. That's what we have to do in terms of global economic strategy.
Jonathan Ward, Gordon Chang, I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.